Live from Sacramento, California.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Featuring Damian Barling.
Yes, I absolutely still love Russell Westbrook. So what?
And Kenny Caraway.
Sometimes you're really just vibing out.
This is D-Lo and KC.
I'm the street's voice out west. Legendary self-made progress. Last time that I checked.
On ESPN 1320.
Loved ones, we welcome you in here to the Tuesday, October 13th edition of D'Lo and KC here on ESPN 1320. We are so happy that you are here with us. We invite you to participate in the show as much as your heart desires. You can connect with us on the phone lines at 916-349-1320. You can also hit us up on social media at D'Lo and KC, also at ESPN 1320. Plenty to get to today. As Kenny, we've got football tonight because
today's Tuesday, right?
We've got Tuesday late-ish afternoon-ish, early evening-ish football. Doesn't quite have Tuesday night
doing things.
Tuesday night football has a ring to it, but Tuesday night-ish, early evening-ish doesn't have the same feel. And I think maybe we have Tuesday night late afternoon football. And too bad, like, it's lost and all that. It's a hell of a football game. Like, it's a 4-0 Bills tonight and the 3-0. Mm-hmm. Sorry. It is your 4-0.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that.
Buffalo Bills tonight against the Tennessee Titans. We'll talk more about that as the day progresses. Right now, still kind of licking our wounds from week 5 in the NFL season and the San Francisco 49ers and the Miami Dolphins. Kyle Shanahan spoke to the media yesterday, as he does every Monday. There's a lot to take away from what he said yesterday, including, you know, there are some more injuries take away that we've got to talk about. Kwon Alexander, Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman's one is a bit concerning. In fact, it's really concerning. You know, we'll get to that, but obviously the focal point was Jimmy Garoppolo. And Kyle was asked, you know, like, how did you get to the point where he started? Like, how did you get to the point where Jimmy Garoppolo was under center?
It was how he looked in practice. I mean, he started out Wednesday, like they all do, coming off a high ankle. Looked a lot better Thursday, had no soreness from it, looked good on Friday, looked good in pregame warm-up. So there was nothing that he saw in practice that would have kept him out. If the game was going a little bit differently, I would have kept him in that game also. It wasn't that his ankle was hurt too bad to where he couldn't function and play, but it was definitely prohibiting him. You could tell how he was throwing, just mechanically doing a little bit different than he normally does. When I do see that with my own eyes, and then when I talk to a guy when he comes off the field and ask him, and he kind of echoes similar to the same stuff, I know it's going to be tough for him to throw the way he normally does. And then when me as a coach, I can see where the game's going, what the score is, what's going on in front of me. I know that we're going to have to be throwing a lot in this game to get back into it. And that's why I make that decision, what's best for Jimmy at the time and what's also what's best for our team at the time.
So I don't know, like, any other way to ask it other than, do you buy that? Or are you buying that?
There was a lot there that, quite frankly, I didn't like. There's not much in there that I liked at all. I mean, low-key, threw Jimmy under the bus. Didn't really throw him under the bus, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, I think he looks like he's off, and then he comes to the sideline and he echoes what I'm saying. Like, look, we give credit to Kyle Shanahan for being forthcoming, like being not giving us cliche things,
yeah,
you know, in
sure.
the media and stuff like that. And that's cool or whatever.
And he did that yesterday. He said a lot yesterday that I think is worth you hearing about the offenses, about the offensive line, and we have all that for you today. But this, I think, given the high-profile position of the quarterback, this is what stands out the most.
He makes Jimmy look weak. He makes Jimmy look weak. To come up here and echo, like, yeah, I'm not able to do this and that, this and that. Like I said, man, is he going to be 100%? No. But if he's 70, 80% and he's out there, he's got to perform. And if I'm Jimmy and I'm 70, 80%, even if I say, yeah, it's a little tight or whatever, I'm still out there. I'm going to figure it out, coach. I'm going to figure
okay.
it out.
But let's look at the other point where he says he took Jimmy Garoppolo out because the game, you know, because of the direction that the game was going. Obviously, they were getting blown out at halftime. Jimmy Garoppolo was very much contributing to that blowout, as was the defense, by the way, who gave up, you know, two scores in the first two possessions. It was 14-0 before you even knew what was happening. But do you buy the if the game had been going differently, I would have left him out there. Do you buy that the sole reason that Kyle Shanahan put Jimmy Garoppolo on the bench was a concern for Jimmy's ankle or a concern for Jimmy's health? You know what? Think about it.
The sole reason. To answer your question directly, no, because that wasn't the sole reason. Was it a reason? Sure. Maybe it was the biggest reason. Sole reason? No, I don't believe that.
Okay, here's the second thing he said, and this was about how Jimmy's feeling, how he was feeling yesterday, and their plan headed into this week.
Jimmy came in good. I mean, I know he's sore from the first half. I think his ankle's a little bit sore and his body a little bit from some of the hits that he had, but nothing that made it worse. And it was like you expected after a game. Nothing too bad happened. We got him out of there before that did. So we'll see how he is on Wednesday. I expect him to be at least the same, if not better. So hopefully we can get a week of that and have no setbacks Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And hopefully we get him out there Sunday night.
All of this is trash, Damien. All of it is trash. Like, nothing. Remember, I yelled at this man yesterday, and I said, yo, when you talk to the media, I need you to fix this. I need you to hear it right. He didn't fix nothing with his words. If anything, it just left people scratching their head even more. He has single-handedly created this weird controversy. He's done it.
It confuses me that he says he basically laid out he expect this week. He even said it in that second clip. We expect this week to be the same. And you know, he's probably a little sore from, you know, his time in the first half. He didn't get injured. We got him out of there. And hopefully we have the same progressions, meaning Wednesday, Thursday, Friday practice, all of that stuff. Like, OK. It's going to be the same. So what's the end? Is the end result going to be different? Like, and that's the thing that I'm lost on. Like, so it was, the belief is he was either healthy entering the game or he wasn't, because in the first clip he says we took him out. He you know, his ankle was a problem. He echoed, like, you could see certain things, as you noted there, Kenny. He echoed these sentiments when he came to the sideline. We got him out of there. We saw the direction of the game was going. We knew we were going to have to throw a lot. Okay. All right. But in that clip, he says, well, we expect everything to be the same this week heading into Sunday night, and we believe that he's going to be under center Sunday night. Well, it's like, wait a minute. If everything is going to be the same, he's not going to be healthy enough to play. Or at least not healthy enough to where you won't see problems with his throwing, or healthy enough to where he won't exit the game and echo the same sentiments. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he's trying to protect I don't know if Kyle Shanahan is trying to protect Jimmy Garoppolo, or I don't know if he just has that little faith in Nick Mullins and CJ Beathard to where he can't say we took him out because he wasn't playing good. And the fact is, if CJ Beathard had brought us back in that game, we could be having a very real conversation about CJ Beathard starting Sunday. That didn't happen. CJ Beathard continued the fall that the San Francisco 49ers had started there in the first half, and we ultimately didn't get anything out of this. So I wonder, you said this at the beginning, and I think you're 100% right. I believe Kyle Shanahan, he even used the term keep it real yesterday. He said, I'm not going to make excuses for you. I try to keep it real. And he goes on to give this answer about the lack of proficiency in the offense, and we'll have that for you here in a minute. But he, I believe, is a genuinely honest coach when he is addressing the media, as honest as coaches choose to be when it comes to addressing the media. I think he's just conveniently leaving out that he benched Jimmy Garoppolo in the second half because he thought C.J. Beathard might be able to lead them back. And whether it was because of Jimmy Garoppolo's ankle or not, the idea was the way that he was performing. It wasn't so much the, I don't think, it was so much the score of the game at halftime as much as it was Jimmy contributed big time to the hole that the San Francisco 49ers were in with those two interceptions.
Kyle Shanahan has created a mess. He has created a mess. And two things, one or two things could be true, or maybe even both of them. Number one, he's got this, I talked about it yesterday, it was the clip that was up on Twitter. He's got this irrational love for C.J. Beathard, this irrational belief in him for whatever reason. And he saw an opening to get him in here because every time he's had an opening to get C.J. in there, he's got him in there. For whatever reason, whether it was to be ahead of the depth chart, ahead of Nick Mullins this year, putting him in that game against Philadelphia, or like I said, going and having him ahead of the depth chart and now putting him in this Jimmy Garoppolo game on Sunday. That's an issue. The other thing is he could look back, and maybe he doesn't, but I'm going to tell you right now, what he did on Sunday pulling Jimmy Garoppolo at halftime was wrong. It was the wrong move to make for so many different reasons. Number one, you let him play through that. Number two, you have created a mess. This is a mess. Because if you would have just lost on Sunday, then it would have been like, okay, we lost. We lost. Jimmy played bad. That's what it is. Now you've created this whole firestorm of who does he really believe in? Does he really believe in Jimmy? Is this really his quarterback? Should they be drafting a quarterback? Should they cut bait with everybody? Because like it's a mess now. And I think Kyle may have realized that, and he's trying to double talk this whole thing about, well, you know, he wasn't healthy, he wasn't feeling good, but he's going to start, but it's going to be more of the same this year. Like, what is this double talk that you're even doing at this point?
I don't disagree.
It's a mess.
I don't disagree that he's double talking a little bit here, as you say. But I don't think it's as simple as if he had left Jimmy Garoppolo in there and the 49ers have lost, they just would have lost and everybody played bad and we just move on. Now, the element of quarterback controversy would still be there. Like, I don't know that maybe Kyle Shanahan wouldn't have created it by benching him at halftime and putting in C.J. Beathard, but it's still going to be there. It follows Jimmy around. Quarterback controversy follows Jimmy. It surrounded him when he was the backup in New England, and now, following his ACL repair, it's followed him here in San Francisco as the starting quarterback.
I agree with that, but it would not be does Kyle, like, sure, there would be the loud minority who would bring this up again, but it would not be does Kyle not believe in Jimmy. It would just be is Jimmy good enough to win? Like, it would just be that, which is something that they've dealt with since they've had him. But now you've got them both. You got, is Jimmy good enough to win? And is Kyle not believing in Jimmy anymore? And him taking him out at halftime absolutely opened that door to ask the question. And he created it for no reason. Like, you could have left him in for the third quarter. Lead would have got bigger. If you would have took him out going into the fourth quarter, it would have just been looked at as games out of hand, bringing in C.J. Beathard to finish the game out. But by taking him out at halftime, that 15 minutes earlier, you created this whole whirlwind, and it's a mess, man. It's a mess.
Okay. Do you think he should have started? Do you think Jimmy Garoppolo should have started?
Yes.
Do you think the 49ers would have been in a better position to win that game if he didn't?
No.
Okay. Kyle Shanahan, he didn't make excuses yesterday when addressing the media. Now, we don't think he was entirely honest about his assessment of Jimmy Garoppolo there, but he's not making excuses about the way his team is playing. He thinks they need just one thing. Kenny, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on that. Plus, we'll give you an update on all of the injuries. There was a hell of a Monday Night Football game last night that we've got to talk about as well. We'd love to hear from you, to 49er Faithful, 916-349-1320, at D'Lo and KC on Twitter. We're just getting started here on Sacramento's home of 49ers football, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC continues on ESPN 1320.
Thanks for being with us. We're going to dive more into what Kyle Shanahan had to say yesterday during his press conference. If you want to be a part of the show, we'd love for you to. At D'Lo and KC on Twitter, at ESPN 1320 on Twitter, and of course on the phone lines, 916-349-1320. Big Al, what's going on, man?
Big Al.
I'm going to talk to the 49er fans. You know, I can be fully objective. I'm not a 49er fan. I am an NFL football fan, college football fan, when we get it correctly.
There you go.
I heard the 49ers famous, he didn't have the success, but Steve Mariucci,
he
commented about the 49ers, and I thought it was a very insightful interview. You know, it's just a rough year. I mean, nobody sees a really bright light at end of any tunnel, and this is just a rough year for the 49ers. That's just the way it sometimes has to turn out to be. You know, maybe that helps them build up for next year. And, you know, they got a great GM. That's the one hope. At least the 49ers have, I think, a good front office. I won't say anything necessarily to coach. I mean, the coach is very important, but you got to have a great front office. Because, you know, 49ers fans, be thankful. Look, you could be in Detroit. Oh, you could be a New York Jet fan. Oh, my God. Oof. Come on. That's That's hideous. That's like punishment from hell.
Hopeless. Pretty much. Pretty much.
Yeah. So anyway, would you, not that you could do it now, but I mean, what do you think after you watch Herbert last night? You know, I saw him at Oregon. I watched a lot of the Oregon games, and I thought, the guy's an interesting kid, tremendous talent, very bright kid, super bright kid, academic All-American. But, man, I think he's going to be a much better pro than he ever was in college.
Oh, completely agree. Yeah, completely agree. He lit it up last night. We appreciate you, as always, Big Al. Thanks for the call, man. He lit it up last night. Like, he put them in a hell of a position to win that game, them being the Los Angeles Chargers. And, you know, someone tweeted this to us last night. It was, I mean, we don't question Anthony Lynn here on the program.
No, can't do that.
But I got some questions. Like, Tyrod Taylor, you were adamant that he's the starting quarterback. Even when Justin Herbert got in there, you were like, well, yeah, he's a backup for a reason. Mm. Excuse me, good brother, what reason would that be?
Yeah.
Can you... Yeah. Yeah, maybe you could tell us off the record, what exactly is the reason that Justin Herbert looks to be a definitive backup to you?
You know what, to be honest with you, looking back on that situation and finding out what happened, I think, I think he was a little, maybe he got a little emotional and he got a little protective of Tyrod because,
okay,
like, if you thought Tyrod was your starter, he literally did nothing to lose that job. But get like punctured by your team doctors. So yes. To just be like, and he only said
think
that after the first week,
said,
I think,
way.
Though. Yeah, right? Punctured by his team
job.
Doctors. Right. But he literally only said that after that one game, right?
Yeah.
So at that moment, he was probably like, nah, man, like Herbert looked cool. He didn't have to, you know, jump him and hit him with a steel chair the way he did with like, he's a backup for a reason.
Yeah.
He definitely didn't have to say that. But I think at that time, he was probably like, really upset with what happened with Tyrod and was like, no, this is not why he's losing his job. He's still the starter. I think more of that had to play with it, to be honest with you.
In a little bit of defense of Anthony Lynn, you and I know anytime you have a live microphone in front of you, sometimes you're trying to like accentuate a point and you don't do it the right way. Like Tony Dungy really pissed me off the other night when he said Dak getting hurt could be a blessing in disguise for the Cowboys. Like,
yeah, come on,
Tony,
man.
Like, yo, like, I don't expect that from you. Like, right. I expect that garbage from, you know, some of the talking heads on TV, dude, but not you.
Right.
And he almost immediately went to Twitter, and I don't know if he said anything later on that night either, but he was like, that was the wrong choice of words. That's not what I meant. And then he tried to explain, you know, without Dak being there, they can't rely on the quarterback anymore. Andy Dalton is good enough, but now it puts them in a position to give the ball to Ezekiel Elliott. And the point he was trying to make is that the Cowboys' season isn't lost.
Right.
I think the point Anthony, which is it's a fine point, especially in that division. Mm-hmm. I think the point Anthony Lynn was trying to make is, well, we think Tyrod is really good.
Mm-hmm.
We still think he's capable, and we're going to have Justin Herbert kind of learn some things along the way. But the line about he's a backup for a reason, that's immediately like, well, wait a minute. Okay. Like, what's the reason? Because he was where he was taken in the draft, then you start to ask questions. Now he comes in here and he's playing the way that he is. And now I'm really curious, like, what was that reason?
Right.
Anthony Lynn was talking about he's a backup quarterback because he did a hell of a job last night.
And even to your point, the way Tyrod Taylor got scratched from that game, like if he would have played the game and rolled an ankle or something like that, then it might be like, yeah. You know, he's hurt. You know, you never want to lose your job to injury, but, you know, we'll evaluate it. But the way it happened, he was like, nah, this is messed up. Like, no, he ain't losing his job because of this. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think a lot of that had to do with it. And eventually he came around and saw the light, though.
A couple weeks later, it's like, okay, you can lose your job to a punctured lung from an incompetent trainer if you potentially have a franchise quarterback on your roster and a very, very short start to his career. It looks like the Los Angeles Chargers may very well have. Meantime, who knew that when Phillip Rivers left the Chargers to go to the Colts that he actually retired? Like Phillip Rivers,
I knew that. I told you he was washed.
Phillip Rivers retired. Like, I had no idea. I'll provide some more context to that when we get into one-on-one later on in the show. Just a couple of notes, though, while we're here. Go ahead, Casey.
No, I was just going to say, so last night was a perfect example. Now, so in my house, let me take you guys behind the door or whatever. In my house, you know, I got TVs all over the place. But in the garage, I got one TV and it's hooked up to a Fire Stick. So there's not like a lot of channel changing. It's not like you can just change on a remote. You know, things got to load, buffer, all this. It's a hassle. So typically when I'm in there, it's on something and it stays on something. So yesterday, it was Monday Night Football or the NLCS. And in my mind, it's the NLCS. It's the playoffs. I don't care about the Chargers. Why would I go out of my way to watch the Chargers? But a lot of my timeline, I mean, and they probably were in a place where, you know, it's easier to flip back and forth when you're hooked up to cable or something like that. But so I didn't watch much of any of the Chargers game. I saw overtime and stuff like that, but that's it. And I just, the ratings will come out and they're going to blast the NLCS out of the water. And I'm like, it's the NLCS. Why am I going to, I gotta watch the Chargers. I got to watch the Chargers. No, hell I don't.
Well, it was the Chargers and the Saints. It was Drew Brees, but it's football. Like, football is a more universally consumed game than baseball. Baseball is a regional sport.
I don't get it. It's still the playoffs.
Baseball's a regional sport.
You're right. Everything you're saying is right. I don't get it. Chargers. First of all, we knew they were going to lose the game. And if they didn't lose the game, whatever. Then they'll go, 7-9 on the season. Like, this is inconsequential, what happened last night to the whole NFL season, aside from, like, injury or something. Chargers ain't nobody.
I don't know what you're, like, fixated on the Chargers. You're really angry with the Chargers this
They're
morning.
They're not appointment
not sure.
TV.
Well, but I think that's how people feel about baseball in general. Like, it's not appointment TV.
Understandable. Like I said, you're right. Like, I just don't understand it.
If I was hosting the podcast with Damian Barling instead of hosting D'Lo and KC with Kenny Caraway, I wouldn't have watched 2 seconds of the playoff game last night. And you know what? My audience who followed me on the podcast would have been completely understanding of that because I've never been a big baseball guy. But I also understand in the sense of this show, we're trying to appeal to everybody. There are tons of baseball fans listening to this. And maybe it's not. Maybe they're Giants fans. Maybe they're A's fans. I don't feel like in football, I think there are casual fans because of gambling and there are casual fans because of fantasy. In baseball, I don't think there's casual fans. I think you're an A's fan and then the A's are eliminated and you're done. I think you're a Giants fan. When the Giants are eliminated, you're done. Or you're watching to see if the Dodgers get beat. But maybe you're not exactly watching to see if the Dodgers get beat. You're just keeping an eye on it to make sure that the Dodgers get beat. But baseball is consumed in an entirely different way than I think NFL football is.
And I understand I'm the minority. Literally, the numbers will show I'm in the minority. But this is postseason whatever. Like, postseason whatever. I love basketball. You know, basketball is absolutely my favorite. But if the Raptors and the Bucks are playing in January and there's NFL football on, I'm not watching the Raptors and the Bucks. I'm watching the playoffs. It's the playoffs. The playoffs.
Okay, so
this is everything that we lead up to. The playoffs. I'm not watching a random team like the Chargers or the Bucks, or the Bucks are like a top team. Let's say the Bulls in a regular season in game 22 to not watch the playoffs. I don't understand it.
So you were watching the Braves last night?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was? Okay. So did the Braves win? They won, right?
Oh, yeah, they beat the Dodgers.
Okay, so the Braves beat the Dodgers. So the Dodgers eliminated? Dodgers are eliminated and Braves are in the World Series?
No, but it's all part of the story.
Oh.
It's all part of the story.
Well, what game was that? Was that game 5, 6, 7?
Game 1.
Oh, it was game 1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Come on, man. That game was as inconsequential as the football game.
No, it wasn't. Stop. Damien, stop it. No, it wasn't.
Inconsequential.
That game has nothing to do. The Chargers ain't nothing.
At least these guys
are fighting for a championship. The Chargers ain't nothing.
If the Dodgers win the next four games with
the Chargers, and they're one. What are they? 1-4 now. That is not must-see TV.
1-4-ish. It's all right. But hey, we were watching Justin Herbert. We was watching the quarterback. We were watching Drew Brees lead his second biggest comeback of his career. Drew Brees is must-see TV. You're fixated on the Chargers. It's like you got some hurt family in San Diego or something.
Because we were pretty sure how that game was going to turn out. Like, we were pretty sure. If you had $500 to bet on that game right after our show ended yesterday, you putting it on the Chargers?
So is
anybody
different?
Putting it on the Chargers?
Is it different if the Chargers wind up holding on to win, and now the discussion is Drew Brees like is excuse me as I steal a line from my partner here, is Drew Brees washed? Is Drew Brees ready for them lights? Are the Saints on the downhill? Did they hold on to Sean Payton too long? There's a million different storylines coming out of that. What would it? I feel like you're upset that people are not upset. I feel like you're trying to point out that people were watching football over a Major League playoff, Major League Baseball playoff game.
They were watching Week 5 of a 1-4 team.
When in actuality, most people were probably watching both in some way, shape, or form.
True. I was archaic in how I was watching TV. Well,
Which is kind of archaic
because I was using my Wi-Fi connection to connect to a Fire Stick, right, and watching on an app. So it was modern, but they still haven't figured out the buffering and everything. So it was
a little
archaic.
I'm a streamer, so I don't do channel flipping either.
So you're the same. So you understand me. Like when you're streaming, when you're on something, you're pretty much on there.
I watch everything through Apple TV and one of the different apps that are on there. And so, yeah, no, I don't do a lot. Even though I don't know if you know this, Hulu has live sports. So
that is a hell of a campaign. Like they've done a great job with that because that is fixated in our heads for sure.
The new ads with Baker Mayfield and Saquon Barkley, those are fantastic.
Yeah, those are absolutely pretty good. You want to know something as we digress a little bit?
It's our show.
As much as I'm not a fan of Baker Mayfield, I think their progressive commercials, those are actually pretty clever. The ones where he's like treating their stadium as the home and stuff like that. I'm not hating on those. Those are actually pretty clever. They do a good job with those.
I don't laugh very often, like admittedly. Like I don't like do courtesy laughs and things like that.
Yeah.
But when Baker took out the dustbuster to clean up like the steps, he's like, come on man, get the other one, we'll go faster. That legitimately, like, I thought that was funny. Like I was
they've done a really good job with the fire alarm, the smoke detector, and he was trying to go through the whole stadium and figure out which one it was.
And that's super relatable. And yeah. I think that's like that's how a product or like a campaign gets through to you is it's got to be relatable.
Yeah.
We've all had to stand at a outlet box, or I'm sure most of us had tried to stand at an outlet box trying to figure out why the power somewhere went off in the house, why something doesn't work, but something else does. Like seeing Baker Mayfield there and then seeing him get frustrated. I don't know. I give up and slam the door shut. That's me.
No,
like that, I am Baker Mayfield. That should have been the ad, like the old Tiger Woods ads. I'm Tiger Woods. Like I am Baker Mayfield standing out at that box.
And to Baker's credit, not a bad actor. He does a good job of selling the whole thing. He does a good job with that. So I'll tip my hat to him for that. I was going to say he's a better actor than he is quarterback, but I'm going to leave him alone.
He's 4-1, and I'm going to give you, I'm going to push you to make the decision of a lifetime coming up here. When we go one-on-one in just about 1 hour. So while Kenny wasn't watching, Justin Herbert went 20 of 34, 264 passing yards, 4 passing touchdowns. That's the most passing touchdowns by a rookie in Monday Night Football history.
Wow.
Kenny missed it all.
Chargers, fifth
team in NFL history to lose consecutive games after leading by 17-plus points. That is Chargers football. That's a yearly occurrence. Maybe they don't lose by 17, but there was a stretch of probably at least a year and a half. It could have been 2 full years where if you turn the Chargers game off at the beginning of the fourth quarter, they might have had a win streak unlike anything we have seen in the history of professional sports. But if you stuck around for the fourth quarter, you knew that every game, week after week after week, they would find a way to lose, as they did yesterday when Drew Brees led, as I mentioned, the second largest comeback of his career.
That also goes to my point. What's today's date? October 13th?
Mm-hmm.
I could have told you the Chargers were going to lose. I could have told you that. October 13th, they don't really start even winning games until late October, early November.
Why do you hate the Chargers?
I don't hate them. I just don't run to my TV to watch them. Remember in the preseason,
Your TV hates them.
Maybe. But remember early in the preseason, I was saying, look out for the Chargers and stuff like that. Like, I don't hate them, but they do the same thing every year. Every year.
Well, what they often do, though, you're right. They'll lose in October, but come like mid-November in December, and it's now this cooking. This is the old Chargers. Like, we do. I don't know how the Justin Herbert, like Anthony Lynn, led Chargers are going to do. But now this is a slightly more difficult division than we thought it might be entering the season. In that, I think the Raiders are for real. I don't exactly know what
you go back and forth every week about the Raiders.
That's not true. That's not true. I'm holding on to that extra playoff spot. That's all it is. Like, I think the Raiders can compete for that playoff spot. Like, I told you when they won in week one, I thought they were good enough to, like, they can win games and compete. I didn't think they would be good enough to beat the Chiefs or good enough to compete in that sense. Of course, we just saw them beat the Chiefs. The Denver Broncos season, you know, that took a, you know, dramatic turn. I know we're 5 weeks in. We probably haven't mentioned it in 6 weeks. Von Miller's not playing. Yeah. Like, you know, they lost Von Miller. They lost Drew Lock, who I thought was going to be a substantial, you know, a good piece for them, a good quarterback for them. And now they're just kind of there.
So let me ask you this.
You just look something up. Like, I can tell by that. Like, you just look something up, yeah, and you're going to, yeah, like, you know, drill me with something.
Mid-segment reason. Not a drill. I just want to ask a question. Do you think the Raiders are better than the Patriots?
No. No.
Well, I don't see them getting in then.
All right.
Because right now it's Bills, Steelers, Titans, Chiefs as your leaders. The Ravens are in. Mm. You say the Patriots are in, correct?
Mm. Yeah.
So that's six. And six. Now it's really between the Colts, Browns, and Raiders. Do you think they're better than those? Any one of those?
I have
other two teams.
I think they're better than the Colts. But has Phillip Rivers really just quit, by the way? Like, that's the thing. Is he going to turn it on? No, he is good.
Not no more.
Ish. He's good. He's not good anymore.
No more. He's done. He's done. He's done.
I'm Kenya Barros. I just throw ish next to everything and think that it works.
Or like, AF.
The Browns are an interesting team to follow. Again,
they
I'm going to. I'm going to hit you with a difficult one-on-one question later.
Yeah, man. We all know I've been critical of the Browns. But 4-1 is 4-1. You got to respect it. And they do have weapons. They do. Like, all they got to do is make sure Baker don't mess it up. Or if he takes a jump and he actually adds to everything, that would be great as well. But they got weapons all over the place. And I liked their defense last year. And it seems to be playing a little bit better this year than they did last year. But going into last year, I thought their defense was going to be pretty good. And they're defending rather well. So they're dangerous.
We know that this is a big day. Like, while some people in the world were looking forward to Amazon Prime Day, other people in the world were looking for... How much stuff have you ordered before the show started?
Nothing yet, but I am ready. I've been trying to get ready. But once this show is over... Something's coming to the house in the next 2 days.
How do you get ready for Amazon Prime shopping? Is this like hydrating? Is it like carb loading? Like, what are we doing here?
You definitely got to stay hydrated. I got my Gatorade. Okay. You know, you want to make sure that your thumbs, you know what I mean? You got they're fluid. Everything's good. No cramps going on or whatever the case may be.
Massages. Got
and
it.
You just
got
to get your mind right, too. You got to get your mind right. You got to look around the house. Okay, where can I use a second of this? Not even do I need it, but do I need a second one of this? Let me see or whatever. So,
new TV coming for the garage that only has one TV. So, a new TV and a new Fire Stick.
I've thought about it because if I can get two TVs in the garage, now we cooking. Now we cooking.
So, some people are looking forward to Amazon Prime Day. Other people are looking forward to the iPhone release. We recognize the announcement, but we recognize that you are looking forward to D'Lo and Casey's power rankings. Yeah. But because of this new trend of Tuesday night football that is taking place tonight. Given the fact that there's a 4-0 team and a 3-0 team, we decided to put our power rankings off until tomorrow. I know.
Aww.
It's all right. But we'll have them for you tomorrow. Who we won't have tomorrow or anytime soon, it appears, is Kaywon Alexander and Richard Sherman. It appears
Kaywon Williams, we won't have him either. That's going to be tough, too. It's a big deal.
We don't get anybody. If you started for the San Francisco 49ers, you're out. That's pretty much That's pretty much the gist of it right now.
You know what, Damien? And everybody heard me yesterday. They've heard me today. I'm trying to be accountable, right? I come from an athlete's place where I'm trying to be accountable for what's in front of you. You're not always going to have this golden road in front of you. You got to figure out a way to do it. And I'm trying to stay consistent to that. But I can't be just blind or foolish to the notion and the realistic nature that they've been decimated by injuries. Absolutely decimated by injuries.
For sure.
Almost anybody you were relying on for the San Francisco 49ers this year has gone down.
And on both sides of the ball.
Yes. Yes. And I don't care how deep your roster is or if you think you got a top three roster, whatever the case may be. Nobody's out there winning with practice players. Nobody. So, I mean, that's as much as I'm on Kyle and, you know, and they've got to pick this up and offensive line and all this, which is all true. You still got to have your guys and they don't have them right now. And they're still dropping like flies.
I think we got to start playing hit the Quan anytime we're talking about Quan Alexander. I think that's just a mental show note that we'll tuck away. Apparently, high ankle sprains are contagious because they think he has one. They're not entirely clear what's going on with Quan Alexander. As Kyle Shanahan was talking about him yesterday. They were debating putting him on the IR list. The medical team said, no, don't put him on short-term IR. Let's monitor this a little bit closer over the next couple of days. But, I can't imagine he plays Sunday versus the Rams, and I doubt that he plays next week either.
Yeah, and if that's the case, then put him on IR now. I don't know if the IR is
3 weeks.
But, right, so just give him the other week because you're already going to lose him for two weeks.
But I don't feel like you can –
A lot of people, to be honest with you, I don't fall in this category necessarily. A lot of people are ready to move on from Quan. A lot of 49ers people that I know, that I talk to, that I listen to, they're like, Quan, put Dre Greenlaw in there full time. Get Shazay Alzier out there. And Quan going to be – a lot of people believe Quan going to be gone at the end of the year anyway. What did I say? Shazay Alzier? It's Al Shazier. Got it all mixed up. But
I messed you up by hitting you with the K-1. That's what happened.
But, I mean, a lot. So not to say that you won't miss it, but there's a large contingency of people that are ready to move on from Quan anyway.
I don't think anyone's ready to move on from Richard Sherman. Kyle Shanahan used the dreaded term setback yesterday. When talking about Richard Sherman, and he couldn't remember what it was called, but apparently he's getting some sort of injections into his calf beginning this week as his next form of treatment. He said yesterday we don't expect him to be available on Sunday night against the Los Angeles Rams for Sunday Night Football. But I don't know. This doesn't feel comforting at all with Richard Sherman.
Nah, man, them calf strains, I'm telling you. Them things are dangerous, man. The calf strains are dangerous. Like I said, I use it to my own personal experience with this one. I've had two calf strains, at the same time. And I keep telling you guys, I'm not a professional athlete, obviously, news breaking or whatever. But whenever I do anything athletic right now, like I said, if I have five gears, I don't go past three. Because any second I feel any kind of discomfort in that calf, I just stop and shut it down. And it's something that just doesn't go away like that. You know what I mean? This is something that he may deal with all season long. And he's an older guy now. You know what I'm saying? These things, he's not going to be able to bounce back from it the way he did maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And they just, when they said, you know, they put him on a 3-week IR and they would hope, I hoped he would be back after 3 weeks. That was all kind of hope. Because the calf strains are, it's a 2-month injury, if you ask me.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
That's a two-month injury.
And the damage caused by a strained calf could be significantly worse, more damaging, and in Richard Sherman's case, it could be career ending. Roger Goodell has emerged from his bunker.
Oh.
We'll let you know what he had to say. Plus, I want you to hear what Kyle Shanahan said about the lack of continuity in his offense. It's worth sticking around for. It's ESPN 1320.
Now back to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
916-349-1320 if you want to jump in here, particularly 49er fans. We'd love to hear from you following this disastrous week against the Miami Dolphins. At DLMKC stays popping all day long on Twitter. And how about Roger Goodell emerging from his bunker, if you will? He's apparently on a conference call with members of the media, and he was asked about a potential Week 18 being added to the NFL schedule. Roger Goodell tells reporters, flexibility is going to be critical. As a matter of fact, it looks like the key point in what Roger Goodell is saying as he speaks to the media today is flexibility. Flexibility. That continues to be what he's talking about. He was even asked if extending the season and moving the Super Bowl is a possibility. His quote, "If there's one consistent theme to our season, it's flexibility and adapting." He went on to say about the recent string of COVID-19 tests, "We cannot grow complacent, not the players, not of coaches, not the rest of the personnel. 90% is not good enough in this environment." 90% referring to the number of people that they believe are actually following COVID protocols. The 10 that are not have led to the game cancellations and reschedulings that we have seen over the course of the last 2 weeks of the NFL season. But at least, at least he's talking to folks now.
Yeah, I was about to say, I mean, it's good to hear from him.
Yeah,
good to, hey, good to know he's still with us, that he's still alive and kicking. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. He's being asked a ton of other stuff. We'll bring you full, you know, if there's any other notes. I know he's being asked about ratings and different things like that. We can certainly bring that to you later on. I just thought it was worth pointing out. The NFL is obviously aware. Their plan, actually, did I read? I think I read something in The Athletic about a potential postseason bubble.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
For the NFL. So it looks like all possibilities are out there for the National Football League. What does that mean for your San Francisco 49ers? Well, Kyle Shanahan spoke yesterday. You know, obviously a lot of attention on the 49ers, or a lot of attention, excuse me, on Jimmy Garoppolo and things like that. But, you know, he talked about practice and what's been off. There are two more key points that he addressed that I want to bring to you. And one of them is the just lack of fluidity in the offense.
It's definitely not a lack of effort, but it takes 11 guys to make a play work, and we haven't been clean enough. And I mean, I can give any answer to your questions would be an excuse, so I just try to keep it real, but we got to get out there and practice a lot more. You know, we haven't had a practice yet with Ayuk, Debo, Raheem, Kittle, and Jimmy Garoppolo, including training camp, including every practice for the 4 weeks of this year. So that does make it a little more inconsistent. I was excited to get Debo back for a second week, but then he had the symptoms of a fever, so he wasn't allowed in on Thursday or Friday. So we missed two more practices with them, which is very tough for Debo. It's very tough for our quarterback coming back. It's tough on our rookie and Ayuk, and we're just getting Kittle back here. So I know we have some inconsistencies in that way, which to me get magnified when we're not playing good altogether. And the pressure we put on the line in these last couple of weeks with, you know, this game getting behind and me getting away from the run game and the week before and just a few guys being off in the run game, it's really magnified everything to everyone, which I understand. It hasn't looked good, and we got to get a lot better, but there's no secret to it. I mean, there's one way to get better. It's practicing. If there was an issue that I thought of that people weren't trying their hardest, it'd be a completely different situation. I see guys working. I see guys doing what they can, but I also got to, you know, I can't get on guys too hard for, you know, when they've only had three practices in there or they've only been here for 2 weeks. I got to keep trying to get them healthier and get them out more days and put them through the reps that I expect them to execute a lot more consistently. And when we don't, which does happen in games, then someone's got to make a play to overcome that. And we've been off from that in both ways for the last 2 weeks.
So I know this is a dumb thing, but we listen to Kyle Shanahan talk like four times a week. After games, Mondays, he'll talk tomorrow, he'll talk Friday. That is by far his longest answer of the season. That was nearly 2 minutes on everything that's wrong with the offense. And, you know, he brings up a great point in that when Jimmy got back and Raheem got back, Debo got sick. Mm-hmm. And so I think Debo was at practice on Wednesday. I don't think they had gone through a full practice. He was sent home. And ultimately that line that he used where Kittle, Mostert, Garoppolo, Debo, they haven't been on the practice field at the same time at all this year.
He's absolutely right. And it matters. It really does matter. I mean, it's not the only reason, but it's a pretty big reason. You know what I mean? And in the practice and getting these guys together out on the practice field and being able to get used to each other, get timing with each other, it all matters. Yeah.
These injuries,
I understand what
man,
he's saying. But
these injuries are like it's one thing. And I guess that's one of the most frustrating things for if you're a 49er fan, how you've got to look at this. It's one thing to, okay, we stink and we just can't win games. Mm-hmm. But now there's this element of unknown where it's like, okay, we're not winning games, but I don't think we stink. We've been hit. You know, a lot of teams have been hit with injuries, but we lost our quarterback. We lost our number one running back. We lost our number one wide receiver. We lost our best defensive player. We lost another important defensive player. We lost the most important person in our secondary. This all happened by week two of the season.
Damien, they've had complete units taken out. Mm-hmm. Just taken out. The defensive line and the secondary has just been wiped away. You know what I'm saying? And you're 100% right. Like, as a 49ers fan, if they brought back everybody – and everybody was, you know, ready to go, and they just got smacked up, and it was the Super Bowl hangover, and they lost. I'd tip my hat. Pedro Martinez, tip my hat and call the rest of the league my daddies. You know what I'm saying? That's just what it is. That's how I would handle it. But it's frustrating when from week one, really, from training camp, you hadn't even really had a real chance to defend your NFC championship, in my opinion, with all the guys that have been out and not being able to have your full complement of guys. And that's the most frustrating thing, man. It's just not having a real opportunity to defend that. Once again, if they were to get beat by just getting beat, having all your guys there and getting beat by the other guys in the league, I could stomach that. Not having your people there, that's the worst thing. It's the absolute worst.
The unknown is more frustrating than being bad. Like mm-hmm. Kings fans. The Kings fans are dealing with this right now because we really have no idea what Marvin Bagley is and what he truly means to this Kings roster because he can't stay healthy. Yeah. Now, there is the sample size of him, you know, coming back and playing last year and the team being like, you know, 1-13 or some like horrible statistic when he actually plays games. Now, there's a lot more that goes into that than just right. Marvin Bagley being out there on the floor. But it's that frustrating, like, well, we think that he's good. We've seen him be good. We just haven't seen it for an entire year. We haven't seen it for a long stretch of period. For 49ers fans, it's like, okay, we know what we can do for an entire season. Maybe we aren't going to start the season 8-0. Maybe we aren't going to go 13-3 where we lose three games by a total of, what was it, like 13, 14, 15 points or something, you know, absolutely absurd like that. You know, maybe we're not going to be that, but we're certainly not going to be bad. And now you're left with this, okay, wait a minute. Was last year a fluke? Like, are we bad? Or have we just had the worst possible start to a season that you could possibly have as it pertains to having the most important elements of your team available to you?
Yeah, and that's that. I'm caught in between a rock and a hard place because, once again, you guys know I try to be accountable for everything that goes on, whether it's me on the court, whether it's my teams that I'm watching, right? And I try not to. Damien, how many times have you heard me complain on this show in the first 5 weeks about injuries? Not many, right?
Mm-mm.
I don't go there, but at some point, it's reality.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? It's reality.
Complaining and talking about them aren't the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kyle Shanahan said a second ago, anything I say could be construed as an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to tell you, you know, like what's wrong. We can't ignore the fact that Debo hasn't gotten to practice with Garoppolo, and Garoppolo hasn't gotten to practice with most of, like, we can't ignore all of that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's a part of the conversation. Another thing we spent a lot of time talking about yesterday was the offensive line. I want you to hear what Kyle Shanahan said about that as well. I am Damian Barling. He is Kenny Caraway. And before we get to these phone lines, I want to remind you that River City Food Bank has stepped up and become a primary source of nutrition for many students and other family members while schools remained closed. Since the shutdown, River City Food Bank has distributed 1.1 million pounds of food, which equates to roughly 945,000 meals for families facing hunger. Together, we can help students, family members, and those who need us the most. Text NEED. That's all you got to do. Text NEED to 72881. Again, text NEED to 72881. All money raised goes to fund River City Food Bank programs to help feed more families. And remember, no donation is too small. We appreciate you, and we appreciate Jiffy Lube for their amazing support. 916-349-1320. Let's go to Jason. Jason, great to hear from you, my man. What's going on?
Hey, boys, I just want to know why Carson Wentz doesn't get this injury excuse, but these Niners do.
Is Carson Wentz injured?
Exactly.
Carson Wentz is working with a second-string offensive line and four-string freaking wide receivers, and you guys run him down.
Hey, Carson Wentz beat the San Francisco 49ers. We're not running him down at all. We just don't love him as much as you want us to.
Oh, you love him, bro. You'll trade up for Garoppolo now.
Well,
you guys have a good one. You're doing a good job.
Well, I'm not going to say he's terribly wrong there, but, like, I don't know. Who has more questions about their quarterback position right now? The San Francisco 49er fans or the Philadelphia Eagles fans?
I mean, it's probably it depends on who you ask. If you ask me, I think they're about the same. I think if I'm an Eagles fan, I'm riding with Carson Wentz. If I'm a Niners fan, I'm riding with Carson or with Jimmy Garoppolo.
You have
people out there with that. Like, people are really quick to move off of people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you got to give some stuff time. So even with Carson Wentz, like, I'm not saying trade him like I do Ben Simmons or something like that. Like, you got Carson Wentz, you committed to him, give him the opportunity, give him an opportunity to win with that franchise. Same thing with Jimmy Garoppolo. You committed to him financially, give him an opportunity. You got to give him 2-3 years to try and get things under their belt. So me personally, I think they're in the same boat. But if you ask the question, I think 49er fans have more questions about Jimmy than Eagle fans do about Carson.
I agree. And Jason isn't wrong in one sense that, as we learned getting ready for that 49ers-Eagles game, if there is one team in the league that is as decimated by injuries as the San Francisco 49ers are, it's the Philadelphia Eagles. The one difference was Carson Wentz wasn't out.
Exactly.
Quarterback one wasn't out. Like, they've lost a lot, but they haven't lost their quarterback.
And Carson Wentz... Their defense is probably... I'm sure they got injuries, too. I know they got some in the secondary. But their D-line, which might have been the strength of their team, that defense, was still in sacking and still putting in work. 49ers D-line, which is the strength of their defense, practice guys.
Yeah. 916-349-1320. How about Sam? Sam, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Sam?
Not much. Hey, I just wanted to talk about the press conference. You know, the one comment he made there about, you know, it takes all 11 guys on every play, you know, it's a good comment. It's a fair statement. You know, there's times when it's 10 guys or 9. Hell, Ross Dwelly had a play the other day where he checked out and damn near got Jimmy's head tore off on a blindside hit. If you look at a guy like McGlinchey, this is a guy, to me, he looks like there's 3 or 4 plays every game. I don't know if it's fatigue, but this guy just checks out mentally, doesn't even know the assignment or the snap count, whatever. But what I really wanted to talk about was the injury situation, you know, and I just got 2 comments on that. The injuries, since Kyle Shanahan has been coach of the 49ers, have been an issue. You know, before last year, they blew out their training staff. It's either last year or the year before. They just completely blew out their training staff, and I don't expect that to happen again this year. But for whatever reasons, if you go back 2-3 years, we have had the injury plague. The other issue I have with the injury plague is with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. And, you know, the rap on Trent Baalke used to be always drafted guys that had ACLs. I wouldn't go that far, but we do seem to be big on redshirt years for guys. And if you look at the amount of guys that we're waiting 2 and 3 years on, Jarrett McKinnon, Jalen Hurd, Trent Taylor, Dee Ford, Julian Taylor, Kentavious Street. The list goes on and on. And these are all guys that they're looking at. The problem I have is when these guys come back, they're just guys. The payoff isn't good enough. If I'm going to wait on guys and eat up roster spots and affect my depth chart, Jason Barrett was another one. He's finally back now, and he's serviceable. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
But the payoff's got to be better than serviceable. I need to see dynamic talent. If I'm, you know, Kentavious Street and Julian Taylor, to keep them on the roster, we let go of a guy named DeAndre Moore, who's balling out for the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
So I think kind of some of it's self-inflicted.
That's some great stuff there, Sam. We really appreciate the call, man. Thank you, brother.
He's got a point. Difference between the two, he's talking about Trent Baalke and John Lynch. Trent Baalke would draft these redshirt guys, these guys like Julian Taylor and stuff. They get hurt while on the 49ers. And John Lynch is like, all right, we'll give you an opportunity to rehab or whatever. But talking about Moore, that's one good example. We could use him right now. Definitely could use him right now. He's playing well with the Giants, and he had some good moments last year. So he brought up some good points.
Jarrett McKinnon and Dee Ford weren't brought in to sit a year.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, right. They weren't brought in to, like, get healthy on the 49ers watch. It's just kind of one of those things that wound up happening. And, you know, to piggyback off Sam's point a little bit, I know this is something that we've brought up in the past. Kansas City let him go. You know what I mean? Talking about Dee Ford, not McKinnon. I mean, it's an entirely different situation with Dalvin Cook being drafted there in Minnesota and that whole deal. But, like, you got to – if you look at it, you look at a franchise like Kansas City and you go, oh, okay, we know Dee Ford is impactful. They just let him walk. Sometimes in those situations, you got to ask, like, what do they know that we don't? And maybe that's too – you know, maybe we're digging way too deep into it. Maybe it's just bad luck for Dee Ford, but – those things always, like, catch my mind, particularly in football when players like this, it's why, regardless of how well the Raiders may wind up doing or don't doing, I'll never understand the Khalil Mack trade. Like, I love Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs was a direct result of the Khalil Mack trade. But Khalil Mack is a want, like, he's not normal. Like, he's different. And to equate Josh Jacobs, with all due respect, who's a running back, to what Khalil Mack does, like, it's entirely different. So that type of thing will never, like, make sense to me. And it's always where I look at certain moves like Kansas City, D4, like, wow. Like, you just, like, truthfully, I did the same thing with the San Francisco 49ers and the DeForest Buckner. It was like, oh, okay. I get this. This has just got to be a money thing. You just, you let him go. I don't always get it in the NFL.
You're not alone in your thoughts about the Dee Ford. I know a lot of people are critical of the Dee Ford move.
It's easy now.
Yeah, it's easy now. I look at it like this, and I don't think they thought they were going to the Super Bowl last year, but that move almost got them the sixth Super Bowl trophy last year. Mm-hmm. Having Dee Ford on that line, I know he didn't play all the games, but when he was there, he was an X factor. He was there in the entire playoffs, and having him with Nick Bosa and that defensive line almost got you a Super Bowl championship. So if you go for the gusto, and like I said, I don't think they thought, if you gave them truth serum, they didn't think, okay, we're a Super Bowl team last year. They thought, hey, get into the playoffs, maybe win a game, and we can see what we can do after that. And that's why they were bringing in Dee Ford. But it almost got you a chip. You were 5 minutes away from getting a chip, and it didn't happen. And I'm not going to look back in hindsight and be like, they shouldn't have done the D4 trade. Because if they would have closed it out last year and this D4 season happened the same exact way that it's happened this year, nobody would say anything.
Well, it's already paid
yourself
off.
A championship.
Yeah, it's already paid off.
You know what I'm saying? So you were that close and it just didn't happen.
McGlinchey's different. Like, McGlinchey's, I feel like his name has come up at least four of the 5 weeks so far, maybe all five of them. Like,
he hasn't had a good season. Not at all.
He has not at all. And I remember, you know, in these Kyle Shanahan press conferences, him being asked, it might have been last week or the week before, directly about McGlinchey and his play. And he goes on to say, you know, his mistakes are getting magnified. Like, I don't think he's playing as bad as everybody thinks that he does.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I don't know, because I think he plays really bad, yeah, to be honest with you. And Kyle Shanahan addressed the offensive line yesterday.
Yeah, we had five sacks. I think three of them we had busts on protections. That guy's communicating at the line, playing faster, going through all the looks, and not making a mistake. I mean, those guys switch up fronts and their numbers all the time. When they do that, it puts a lot of pressure on an offense, and you got to be on it. And when you end up throwing the ball a lot more than you anticipate and a lot more than you ever want to, those things are what come up. So I thought we ran the ball very well, but when you only have 19 carries to show for it, you're going to be in some of those situations. Always when I do get in those situations, I start to worry about turnovers. I worry about the pressure that you're putting on the O-line, the pressure you're putting on the quarterback. And doesn't mean that always happened, but that was a situation that we got into, and that is what happened. We started making some mistakes in protection, made a few mistakes with the ball. I think we had six drops also. You know, 2 of 10 on third down, 0 for 2 on fourth down, added with six drops, added with five sacks. I think we're throwing the ball too much. That's a situation that I got to try to control better, and hopefully we can play better as a team to where we make it easier for me to control that.
That's problem on top of problem on top of problem for Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers. We'll piggyback off that from the offensive line to the run game.
I mean, I think last year that, you know, I mean, look at every game up to 8-0. I don't think we were in a close game until we were 8-0. I mean, we had to come back from some stuff, but I mean, we never got down a bunch of scores. Things have been a little bit different in the situations we've had. I think the games that we have ran it well. I thought we had a very good chance versus Arizona running it well. I thought we got behind it there at the end and had to throw to come back. I thought versus the Jets, we got out and really got after them in the first half running the game, and then we kind of just shut down the entire second half to just get us out of there. Giants was a throwing game. I thought Philly, we did run the ball well until I threw it for the last 24 plays of the game down two scores, and that's what happened this game too. Even though we did get 19 runs in, we averaged 7 yards a run. Good luck getting more of those in when you go 2 for 10 on third down, 0 for 2 on fourth down, have 6 drops, have 5 sacks, and have 3 turnovers. So I like what I see on tape, the way we're blocking. Not every time. But if you don't move the chains on third down, you don't stay out there, you're not going to see that many more run plays. So I don't see a big difference in how we're blocking. I just think we needed some better situations.
I mean, me and Kyle Shanahan finally agree for the first time this week. I shouldn't say that because I think practice is an issue as well. But, you know, my thing, especially with this team, it might be a football rule in general, but especially with this team and how they operate and how the offense flows, third down will tell you everything you need to know about this team and if they were successful that week or not. Don't even really have to watch the game. Look at their percentage on third down and what they're able to do. And if it's good, they probably won. If it's bad, they probably lost. And that offense probably didn't look very well. So
2 of 10 against Miami.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, that's just what it is. And I think it's really critical for this team because, like Kyle talked about, it kind of sets the tone for the flow that they get, the balance they get on the offensive end, running the football, passing the football. It all flows because if you're not able to run the ball on first and second down and get into those third and manageables, those third and threes, third and fours, where you have the whole playbook open to you, then you get into the third and eight, third and nine, and that's just not where this offense wants to be. That's not the kind of quarterback you have. That's not the type of receivers you have to be able to each time do a third and long situation. So I agree with him, man. I got to ask you on the other side, and you could tell me, am I being too hard on Kyle Shanahan?
You know, that's interesting because I was going to ask you something similar, but more about your faith in Kyle Shanahan. And I guess we'll both answer those questions and we'll go one-on-one as D'Lo and KC continue here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC continues on ESPN 1320.
Was looking forward to Ian Anderson and Clayton Kershaw today, but that's not happening.
Mm-mm.
Clayton Kershaw been scratched from his game to start of the NLCS because of back spasms. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts says, the likelihood is very good, and that is a quote, the likelihood is very good that Kershaw will pitch at some point in the series, but they are unsure when. Tony Gonsolin will get the start in place of Clayton Kershaw tonight.
That sucks for Kershaw, man. Like, I've mentioned it a number of different times and a number of different platforms. Yes, Giants, Dodgers. Kershaw's been just a Giants killer. But he is amazing. He is maybe the greatest pitcher I've ever seen in my lifetime. And by all accounts, he seems like the nicest man in the world. Mm-hmm. So with all his playoff failures, yes, I love to get my jokes off with the Dodgers. And it was funny at first. But because he is so great, after a while, like it'll probably say in the last two or three years, it's been a little bit uncomfortable to see him struggle in the playoffs the way he has. Because, I mean, the guy, it sucks. Like, he's that great. And to continue to see him struggle in the playoffs was a little uncomfortable for me. So I hate the fact that he's got to deal with these injuries. And, you know, in a postseason where he had a great outing the first time, looked like maybe this was his year to prove something. And now he's got to deal with this. So that sucks for him, man.
And it's yeah, that's just such a, like, a terrible, terrible label to have, that he, like, suddenly, like, he isn't this clutch pitcher, or he can't deliver in the postseason, or whatever the case is. Because he is, as you said, probably the most phenomenal pitcher, or certainly one of the most phenomenal pitchers in recent memory. And, yeah, this is tough. I feel for – and obviously – the Dodgers, they've got a series to win here. They've got to figure some things out here get going. As the Braves were able to get the first one.
Excuse me, my Atlanta Braves.
Oh,
shout out
sorry.
To Evander Holyfield. Shout out to Outkast. You know, shout out to all the people down in there in the A. You know what I'm saying? My Atlanta Braves went off in the ninth inning last night and busted it open last night in the ninth inning and got that win 5-1. Let's go, Braves. Let's go, baby. My Atlanta Braves.
When did this happen?
I don't know, 3-4 days ago.
Oh, okay. As soon as it was set that they were going to play the Dodgers?
Yeah. I got rid of the Brewers, and then I took on, I got to wear my Braves hat now.
So your team is whoever is playing the Dodgers?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's legit. So you're rooting for the Braves there. Any rooting interest in the other series?
It'd been a talking point, but my Houston Astros.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? Right. You're right.
Shout out to my Astros. But the Rays look like they might win the World Series this year.
Yeah, they look. They're one of those teams where you just like, I didn't pay a single bit of attention to them for 60 games in this restart. And yet, look, here they are with a payroll, a fraction of most players on the New York Yankees. They're getting the job done here in this environment. So they're up 2-0, right? It's 1-0 in the NL. Yeah. Man.
2-0. Rays up 2-0. So that's a trip. But, you know, shout out back to my Atlanta Braves, you know, doing what they do. Shout out to my man, Ronald Acuna Jr. That's my guy right there. So
I can co-sign that. Like, I can get on board with that. But
he's got the biggest 13 pendant I've seen on a baseball field. Like, to be running around as much as he does, that thing looks huge.
And baseball players rocking jewelry always makes me laugh. Hey, actually, athletes. Like, who was it? Was it whose chain? They went for someone's chain like a couple of...
it was Cam in week one.
Oh, allegedly. It was Cam. That's who it was. Cam. He said they was going for my chain. Like, okay. All right, Cam. Like, I love... That's always...
Damien, you know, I would... If I was in Major League Baseball, I would definitely have a thick Cuban link around, probably even two. I'll be having them when I play in the softball leagues on Fridays. I mean, obviously it's not going on right now, but I'll be having two silver thick chains, you know, on in the softball league.
There's nothing you've said today that I believe more than what you just said. Like, I 100% believe that. Would your first purchase, 4-year, $100 million deal.
Oof.
Guaranteed. I'm not talking NFL deal where it's like, you know, $5.5 million. I'm talking Major League Baseball, NBA. Is your first purchase a chain? Is it jewelry of some sort?
It just might be. I mean, obviously, you know, the house is what you would get, but you can't go to the store and buy a house. That's still a process, right? So that wouldn't be your first purchase. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It might be a Rolly. It might be a Rolly. Yeah.
Okay.
It might be a Rolly.
But with the watch, you got to have the, you know, the matching necklace. Like, you can't let it ride alone.
The Cuban link. If it's not first, it's top three. you know, okay. a nice thick Cuban link, you know, shining on him. That would top three for sure.
Okay.
Top three All for right. sure. What would your first purchase be?
Not jewelry. I don't know what it would be. I'm kind of boring, honestly, bro. Like I don't know what it would be because I would immediately be thinking, okay, I'm gonna buy a house and I want it to be by the water. Like that's yeah. okay, realtor. That's the first thing you got to do. Find a house by the water, and then probably something for my mom. At some point, I guess I'd get to the car. Like if you're talking about like the first purchase, that's not a giant process. Yeah. It's a car. And it's probably not even a sexy car. Like it's like the Tesla is relatively affordable. I mean, you could get like a high end Tesla that's $100,000+. I don't know what the difference between that car is and the car that I've been looking at for the last year that's like $50,000.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, one goes 200 miles an hour. I'm confident I'm not the guy who's gonna be driving 200 miles per hour. So that ain't me. I don't know what the difference between the two cars is. Maybe a car aficionado can tell me, but like I'm a pretty boring dude, man. Like I just wanna wake up and like one of my walls just outlooks the ocean.
See,
that's it.
You can't.
That's not asking much.
Yeah, that's not asking much. So you're just looking at the Pacific when you wake up.
That's it. That's it. Like, and if we're going at the rate we're going to, D'Lo and KC is going to help us achieve all of these goals Absolutely. Of buying jewelry and Pacific Ocean window houses.
We'll be like Michael Wilbon. Doesn't Michael Wilbon have like multiple houses?
He does. He's got one in D.C., Chicago. I don't know Arizona. If he still has the one in Chicago. I've been to his house in Scottsdale.
Yeah. Oh, you've been, I'm from afar looking at this. You know Michael Wilbon, okay.
Yeah, I've been to Wilbon's house in Scottsdale. It's not like, it's a nice house. It's not extravagant. It is in a phenomenal neighborhood, though.
Yeah.
It's in one of those neighborhoods where you're like, oh okay. Okay. I mean, it's a really nice house. It's not just like this, oh my gosh, this oh dear God, gaudy house. But this was... I'll have to look up the year. It was the All-Star game. It was the All-Star game that was in Phoenix that Steve Kerr was the GM for the Phoenix Suns, and everybody knew he was going to get fired, and like the whole league was in Phoenix, and as soon as everybody left, they fired Steve Kerr. Geez. It was whatever All-Star game it was that one. So this was, I mean, that's a solid probably 7 years ago.
Yeah.
I know his bank account was pretty good. I remember he always wanted to write. Mm. And like he openly tells the story, like this is a secret. Like he was a writer, like he was writing for the Washington Post. They had him do PTI. PTI became this huge success. And ESPN went to him and said, you know, what would you have to like, we want you to like be ESPN. We want you to stop writing for the Washington Post. Like, what would it take? And he goes, you'd have to make me the Godfather offer. Okay, you'd have to make me the offer, like I can't refuse. And they go, okay, come back a week later. He gets the offer that he can't refuse, and he stops writing for the Washington Post.
We one day, Damien, one day.
Oh, yeah, we're on our way.
KC, it's happening.
We're on our way. And you asked the question before the break, and we appreciate everybody listening, by the way, if you want to jump in for the last 20, 30 minutes of the show, 916-13. No, that's actually not a correct number of digits. It's 916-349-1320, and you can get us on Twitter at D'Lo and KC. Remember, that conversation goes along all day. If you're just tuning in, you want to catch up on the rest of the show, download the radio.com app and use the rewind feature. Super easy. Just search radio.com in your app store, register. It's completely free. It doesn't cost you a penny. We don't spam your email, nothing like that. There's a blue button after you hit play on ESPN 1320. There's a button at the bottom that says rewind. Also, hit the heart button. It saves us as your favorite radio station. That way, every time you open the app, we just start talking to you. We just start playing. And, of course, radio.com is also the exclusive home of the podcast of D'Lo and KC. You asked before the break, are you too hard on Kyle Shanahan? I don't think that you are. I don't think you've said anything egregious. I don't even think you've said anything this week that other than I was surprised at your tone to start today's show about Kyle Shanahan creating a controversy that wasn't there regarding the quarterback position. And I don't think that's out of line. Like, I don't think it's not fair. Like, his remarks about, you know, the reasoning behind Jimmy Garoppolo being pulled at halftime, and I think I think if it's any other quarterback, that reasoning slides. Like if Patrick Mahomes is taken out at halftime of a game that looks like it's a blowout, one, it's probably not happening because there's always going to be a belief that with Patrick Mahomes, you're going to be able to get that comeback. Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't have that same cachet to him.
He should have that same respect, though, from Shanahan.
Coming off of an injury, though, especially one where you kind of believe, I mean, I know you said it. You said it post-game. You said it Monday. You said it immediately following the Philadelphia Eagles loss to Jimmy's playing. Like, there's just, like, he had, like, Jimmy's playing. But I think a lot of that had to do with, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the urgency of the situation. Mm-hmm. You've got Miami coming up. You want to get him back there on the field. Most importantly, you want to win heading into this really difficult stretch. Mm-hmm. I said to you, medicine is a hell of a cure. Medicine is a hell of a drug, to paraphrase Rick James on the on the Dave Chappelle show. And so it's like, all right, he came back. He was out there. You wound up missing him. I honestly think that he came back too early. I think that's what this all boils down to. I know that you think that there's a controversy there. I don't. I think it's simple. He came back too early, and, you know, this is the line Kyle Shanahan used. We saw the direction of the game. Yeah, he saw it. He didn't believe that a, I don't know, 60%, 55% Jimmy Garoppolo could lead them back to a victory. So he decided to make, you know, he decided to make the switch, put C.J. Beathard in. To his defense, not that Kyle Shanahan needs my defense, C.J. Beathard came in relief, so to speak, of Nick Mullins and did pretty well. Whether it was empty calories or not, he did. And so I ultimately think that. Here's my question to you, though.
Okay.
Have you lost faith? Have you lost any faith? Because that's your boy. That is your guy, if you will.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan is your guy. Have you lost any faith in him over the last couple of weeks?
You're right. It is my guy. And that's why, you know, it's hurt me to feel the way I felt about him the last 2 days. Because to be honest with you, to answer your question first and foremost, I guess technically, no. I haven't lost any faith in him. I still believe in him. I still believe that he is everything that I thought he was. And he's that right now, right? But at the same time, I feel like he is not, he's not done what I've asked of him, or I shouldn't say asked of him, but what I wanted to see from him coming into this stretch when they first got hurt. I say it every day almost. No, you guys are sick of it. I wanted to see somebody like a Mike Tomlin who could take this team through a tough time and keep their heads above water. And he hasn't been able to do it. Now, it goes into the reason why I asked, am I too hard on him? Because when you hear him talk, there are things that I agree with, right? Like the practice thing is real. You know what I'm saying? And that's a real issue. Like the injuries are real. And I hate a lot of the time when, you know, if I were to look at Kyle Shanahan and be like, you're not doing a good job or whatever the case may be. You know, I get mad at Robert Saleh or whatever. Hey, they were playing with practice squad guys. You know what I'm saying? And I don't care if you're going up against the Dolphins or the 92 Cowboys. Like, you go up against these guys with practice squad guys, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. The margin for error is super thin. So I don't want to lose sight of that. And I don't want to act like he's dealing with a full deck and he's still just not getting it done. The injuries have been crazy right now. And that is probably, to be honest with you, first and foremost, the reason why the 49ers sit at 2-3 where they are right now. But I just, you know, the pressure has been on for Kyle to elevate his game as a head coach and as a leader of men to another level. And I just don't think he did a good job. I guess mainly when you talk about two things. When you talk about the way he handled the Jimmy Garoppolo situation and his hot trigger with these quarterbacks the last 2 weeks. And I didn't like the way he handled the Akello Witherspoon thing and starting Brian Allen out there. And I think two of those two things kind of fall on his plate. And, you know, I say he hasn't passed the test, but he's also a young coach. He also hasn't been in these situations before with this level of pressure, this level of expectations, and he's kind of learning on the fly. And if he gets it wrong this time, that's not to say if he's in the same situation again next time that he doesn't learn from his mistake and he handles it a little better. He might have learned from his mistake in 48 hours and improved on some of the things going into this next game. So there is room for that as well.
The Witherspoon thing is fascinating. Did you see Dante Whitner just
blasted? Oh, my gosh. Dante Whitner is gone for 48 hours just blasted.
Like, that's
Witherspoon.
that's rough. Like, he called him soft. Like, I'm not of the mindset that me, nor you, nor most people listening can call a professional athlete soft. Like, I've never been of that, like, that type of sports media guy. I just don't think you can do that.
Right.
But when another athlete calls you soft, or particularly in you know, Dante's case, a former 49er, when he calls you soft, it's like, oh, okay. What, like, and, you know, he's alluding to what you said yesterday, in that either you can play or you can't. Like, what? Like, how are you an emergency in an emergency situation? And that falls not just on Witherspoon, but it also falls on Shanahan for going along with this. You can either play or you can't. There are emergency situations, like you were talking about the playoffs earlier, the Major League Baseball playoffs situation. There are emergency situations in Game 7 where, like, your starters for the last three games are all available to pitch that day.
Right.
That's an emergency situation that you make an adjustment with on the fly. Whether a guy is going to blow up his hamstring and be lost for the season, I'm not sure that I would, you know, call that like, oh, we'll have him available for an emergency. The emergency being the guy we put out there who was signed from the practice squad a couple of days ago wasn't ready to play. Right. He wasn't ready to be in this situation. And, oh, by the way, we can make all of the jokes about Miami that we want to, or about Ryan Fitzpatrick that we want to. The fact is, Devontae Parker is a playmaker, and he had to go out there and deal with that. Yeah. And so, you know, that Dante Whitner's, his comments really got my attention. Like, oh, yeah. Okay.
He lit that boy up, man. And I think while I haven't played in the NFL or anything like that, and I can relate to Dante Whitner feeling the way he fit and expressing it the way he does, is because a lot of times as an athlete, as somebody that's played, and you feel like you played on, I mean, he definitely played on a high level, but even myself, I feel like I played, I competed at a high level in college and semi-pro and stuff like that. You look at situations like in Akella Witherspoon and you say, I would not have handled it like that. And that is what's frustrating. And sometimes it's unfair because the way you handle it, number one, may not have been right. Number two, that's how you would have handled it. You know what I'm saying? And that's fair to put what you would have done on another man. But I feel him because I'm like, if I'm Akello Witherspoon and I can go, if coach talks about an emergency, no, it ain't no emergency. I'm telling you, so if I'm suited up, let's rock. Let's rock. Let's play. Ain't no break in case of emergency. And I think that's what has Dante so upset, because not only did you put this young man, Brian Allen, in a tough situation, but ultimately you put the whole team in a tough situation that could have been avoidable. You could either have said, no, I can't go, and you would have been inactive, and somebody else would be dressing and getting that spot. Or once you put the jersey on, yo, Brian, get out, because I'm here. We're going to play. So, yeah, he's been unloading on him, and it's tough to hear, but I understand it.
Decision is that I'm healthy enough to dress, not healthy enough to start, but healthy enough to go in when Brian Allen struggles. How does that all play out behind the scenes?
Initially, it's on the player. Initially, it's on the player. If you know that you can get out there and compete and help your football team, why would you sit on the sideline and you know that this guy is overmatched? And this is why I've been saying the entire year, and I'm going to say it now. Akello Witherspoon is soft. S-O-F-T. And you let the football team down by allowing this young guy to get out there. You guys fell behind by 3 scores, and there's no coming back. So it's on him and Robert Saleh.
Okay. Thanks to NBC Sports for that. Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, that was facts. And then, so this is where it goes to Kyle Shanahan.
He spelled it. You know it's bad when you spell it.
That's what made me say, damn. Like, oh, man, you ain't got to spell it on them, man. All right? Yeah. We can all read. Jeez. But this is also where it goes to Kyle Shanahan, because so – when Akello came in on Sunday, when he finally came in, I said, yo, Ryan Fitzpatrick is about to test this boy out because of the hamstring. Put some help over the top. I said that. I'm not an NFL head coach. So when Hall is out there, or excuse me, Brian Allen is out there, you should have your radars up like, yo, this guy, he's wearing number 48, which is a crime in itself. He's going to be, for a defensive back, he's going to be targeted. Do not leave him on an island. You've got to say that to Robert Saleh. You've got to have that call. Don't leave him on an island before the game. Okay, very first play of the game, they go straight at him.
Yeah.
Don't leave him on an island. Nope, they do it again and again and again. And next thing you know, you're down 21-0. Why are you taking so long to not leave this kid on the island? He's obviously struggling from the first play of the game. And that's where it goes on Kyle Shanahan in that respect, because you've got your spidey senses up for all your quarterbacks. When it's time to get C.J. Beathard in there, you got your spidey senses up. I need you to just have a spidey sense for that particular moment.
Well, only 5 more days till the next game, so all good.
Damian Barley, Kenny Caraway, 4 topics, 2 arguments, no winners. One-on-one with D-Lo and KC.
All right, Kenny Caraway, Falcons owner Arthur Blank, who, of course, he just fired his head coach and general manager, had this to say about their quarterback, one Matt Ryan. Matt's been a franchise leader for us, a great quarterback, one of the leading quarterbacks in the last 13 years in the NFL. So I hope he's going to be a part of our plans going forward, but that will be a decision that I won't make. You know, Matt has the ability to play at a very high level, even at his age. Whether that's going to continue or not, I'm not sure. I appreciate his willingness to consider doing that and the level of that he's played for us for 13 years, which has been incredible. So we'll have to see. But in the end, it'll be a decision made by the front office and the coaching staff. Kenny Caraway, why don't you let the world know how much you hate Matt Ryan right now?
Relax, Damian.
As I ask this question, at 35 years old, can Matt Ryan help a team that may be a quarterback away?
He can help a team, I guess, right? He can help a team. But for let me pull everybody behind the curtain. This goes back to a conversation that me and Damian had about a week ago, where I said Matt Ryan, he got on here and it was after, look, this is what happened. He goes, it was after they lost to Green Bay on Monday Night Football. And he goes, oh, well, you know, they had Matt Ryan out there and they had Matty Ice. And I was like, so what? What has Matt Ryan ever done? Yeah, he's got numbers and all this other stuff. What has Matt Ryan ever won? He won one NFC Championship game with Kyle Shanahan, by the way. And that's about it. And I asked you, and I'll ask everybody else, name me the top 3 Matt Ryan moments. And 2 of them will probably be losses.
49ers, 28-3.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? What was the 49ers one? 17 points?
They were up 17-0 at the end of the first quarter.
17
at home, NFC Championship game. He threw a pick, and he fumbled a snap in the comeback. I don't think they scored in the second half. They might have scored a field goal. So okay. I say all that to say, like, Matt Ryan is cool. Like, he's cool, but he's talented. He'll give you yards and all this other stuff. But what, they're 0-5 right now.
They are. They're 0-5. And Matt, he's had a weird season. Like, he played really, really well in the first game against Seattle. Little did we know at the time that would be a trend for every quarterback going against the Seattle Seahawks defense. He threw for 450 yards that game.
And he could barely put it in the end zone that game, though.
He did twice. He hasn't put it in the end zone.
Barely. 450 yards, and he only put up 2 touchdowns?
No, he's 2 touchdowns, 450 yards. He hasn't thrown it in the end zone for 2 weeks. Mm. And he hasn't thrown it in the end zone multiple times for 4 weeks.
Mm.
And the last time that he threw it in the end zone for multiple touchdowns, his first 2 games of the season, help me out here, we're against Seattle and Dallas. The 2 worst defenses in the entire league. He threw a combined 6 touchdowns and 1 interception. He's 35 years old. He's capable of throwing 5,000 yards. He's certainly capable of regularly throwing 4,500, 4,600, 4,700 yards. I mean, I can think of one. First of all, this is just fun. Like, he's not going anywhere. His dead cap money is $45 million. Mm. He's going nowhere.
That's a ton of money. My
this
goodness,
year.
Dead cap.
He's going nowhere this year. Now, in the offseason, the dead cap money change. It's still a huge hit for Atlanta. But if they want to move on, it makes more sense to do it in the offseason than it does right now. But there, Damian, are, I,
Real quick, we're talking about a guy who couldn't get Julio Jones in the end zone for like 2 years. I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing when we couldn't get Julio Jones in the end zone for like 2 seasons? Bizarre.
I hear you.
He's cool. But
Matt Ryan on the Chicago Bears. Does that move him?
Yeah, if I'm the Bears, I'm cool. I mean, they got a coaching problem, but if I'm the Bears, it's an upgrade. I know I hit Nagy with a steel chair right there. It's cool, though.
Matt Ryan on the Indianapolis Colts.
You almost history repeating itself, to be honest with you.
Oh, stop it. Matt Ryan's way better than Phillip Rivers is right now.
Is he?
Maybe. The Colts are good. Like the it's are weird. They? It's weird that Phillip Rivers is there and the Colts are a quarterback away. They were really good last year. They've been good for years. It's just, you know, God bless them. Jacoby Brissett, he took over. Yes, absolutely. That team Andy Luck left. That was a Super Bowl caliber team. The one that he walked away from. I don't know. I'm talking about the team that Andrew Luck left.
How do we know they were good? He left them in the preseason.
I know. Didn't we just talk about the unknown and the known? I know. I'm in the know here. That Indianapolis Colts team was good. They were bearing up for a run to the AFC Championship. I know this.
Okay. All right. I mean, could he go to Indy? I don't, you know.
He ain't going nowhere. Ain't nobody going for it. Atlanta's not trading for him,
but in the offseason, I don't know. Maybe he makes a move. If I'm Atlanta, though.
But if I'm Indianapolis, I'm trying to find a younger quarterback. Unless you're just desperate to. I mean, they're in this window a little bit. Maybe they're just like, and I think that was their idea with Phillip Rivers. If we can get Phillip Rivers, we tell him it's just 1 year. Maybe he's super motivated. He comes in here and he lights it up for us. That hasn't happened. Phillip Rivers hit Indianapolis and retired. He just continues to put on a jersey every Sunday.
You gotta pay for them kids, man.
Yeah. He probably needs to play a couple more years to get all
he's looking for a 5-year deal.
He's gotta get all those kids through college, man. We're talking about what's our first purchase if we ever hit it big. He's like, man, I've hit it big 7 times and I've got kids to put through school.
That man can start his own school. It's his own college, the Phillip Rivers Institution.
Yeah, he's fielded an entire football team here.
Absolutely. Damien, my question here, it's a little bit of a weird one. I just want to pick your brain a little bit. I got to ask you, but we're looking at the NLCS, and we're looking at Cowboys games. We're looking at a fight that's coming up that is in my entrance, Tank versus Leo Santa Cruz. It got pushed back to Halloween. All in an effort because in Texas, fans are welcomed right now, right? Fans are welcome. People can come into these games. I think they're allowing like 13,000 at the NLCS. Jerry is allegedly putting 25,000 into Jerry's World and things of that nature. Crowds are coming. Is it a good or a bad sign that they're having these crowds and are continuing to have these crowds?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you mean by good sign or bad sign.
So, like, is it encouraging? Like, it's an unfair question because off the top of my head, I could say they're letting these crowds in and I don't know, are COVID cases going up in these areas in Texas? And the SEC was crazy on Saturday with everybody had a crowd. Like, I know everybody in the South was having a crowd.
The only number I know, like Florida's like 25% up, like they're sky high. Florida's, I think Arizona's crazy. Up. I honestly is it a good sign or a bad sign? The sign is, I think people have just, they've just given up. Like they don't care. Like it's not, it was like, all right, let's hunker down for a while and we'll get through this. And now it's like, we're not through this. F it. Like it's not people like concerned about how to avoid it. It's learning to live with it. Yeah. And I think that's where we're at, like, as a country. Like, that's why, I mean, if you can make the decision to go to a bar or a club or a, you know, an indoor restaurant or whatever, or any sort of crowded area, I guess you can make the decision to go to a, a baseball game is probably safer. A football game is probably safer just because, you know, as we joke, we know that Jerry's not allowing 25% capacity into that stadium. Like, it's probably closer to 30, maybe as high as 40. Who knows how he has fudged that number. But still, in that sense, it's probably safer than a bar. It's safer than a restaurant, even outdoor bars, even outdoor restaurants. The thing that gets confusing to me is the mixed messages that we get from, you know, local government officials. Like, there's this thing right here that I pulled up as you were talking. This alert came in that the Saints, like in New Orleans, you can't let people in to the stadium. Mm-hmm. And so the Saints now are trying to have a conversation with LSU in Baton Rouge because it's different.
Yeah.
The
open air stadium or something like that.
So they're looking at moving home games to Baton Rouge.
Wow.
And it's like, all right, like, what do we, I don't get it. Like, I don't get any of it. So is it a good sign? Is it a bad sign? I don't know that it's any of those. It's just a sign of where we're at. Mm. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fan experience doesn't bother me. Like, when I watch a game, There were certainly times during the playoffs where a series is coming to an end and you go, man, it would be really cool if this game was in Portland or if this game was in Miami or whatever. Like, there were a number of those cases. But other than that, like, as I'm watching, like, the actual athletic competition, I'm not concerned whether, like, there's no experience that is taking away from me in that regard.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to pick your brain about that. See what you thought about these fans popping up in these venues.
Bonus question: you mentioned this. Like, did the Mike Tyson Roy Jones thing? Is that just off?
It's still supposed to go down November 28th. I think is the date.
So no one's come to their senses yet.
Nobody has come to their senses. I've seen these little stories about Tyson talking about, like, I'm going to make a comeback.
Okay, Mike. All right. Yeah. I told you I had a tough question for you, and here it is.
Okay.
You could pick one 4-0 team to go to the Super Bowl. Or, excuse me, 4-1 team. You could pick one 4-1 team to go to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
The Chicago Bears.
What?
Or the Cleveland Browns. Both teams are 4-1. The Chicago Bears or the Cleveland Browns. Kenny Caraway, you have to pick one team to ride to the Super Bowl. Who you got?
Can you believe that I'm saying this? Can you believe I'm actually going to say this? But it's fairly easy. It's the Cleveland Browns. It's the Cleveland Browns.
Bears.
I feel how I feel about Baker Mayfield. He's better than money making Mitch and Nick Foles and Stefanski, the coach.
Yeah.
Way better than Nagy. Yeah. Way better.
Oh, 100%. 100%. They're putting up points. The Bears have beaten the Lions by 4.
Okay.
The Giants by 4.
All right.
The Falcons, wait for it, by 4.
What are
they lost to the Indianapolis Colts.
1-15?
They lost to the Indianapolis Colts by 8, and then, of course, they beat the Bucks by 1. The Browns, they were destroyed by the Baltimore Ravens in week 1, 38-6. They've gone on to beat the Bengals, Washington, Dallas, and then they had a win against Indianapolis.
Combined maybe 3-12 for their wins as well. So
a little bit more than that because I think Washington, it's a little bit better
than
Colts
that.
The Colts have
3 wins, right?
Yeah, Dallas has 2 now, believe it or not.
I forgot they won.
I think Dallas is leading, if I'm not mistaken, the NFC East division. And then Washington, they've got 1 there. Fourth straight win.
6-7 or something like that.
4-1 through 5 games. Their last 4-1 start was in 1994 when Bill Belichick was the head coach of that football team.
Wow. Yeah, the Browns for me, out of the two, sorry, John, is the team that I have a little more faith in. Yeah, they got weapons. Okay. I think they're better coached. I think that's the team out of those two.
Before we get to your last one, let's get to CJ. CJ's been waiting patiently at 916-349-1320. CJ, what's going on, baby?
Fellas, I love the show, and I'm struggling with KC bashing Matty Ice. so hard.
Okay.
Let's just talk real quick. Matt Ryan started one less game last year. He started 15, Jimmy G 16.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about completions. Matt Ryan threw 408 completions to Jimmy Garoppolo's 329. Matt Ryan pass attempt 616 to Jimmy G's 476.
There you go.
Matt Ryan's passing yards 4,466 to Jimmy G's 3,978. And Jimmy G with 27 touchdowns to Matt Ryan's 26. Are we talking that much difference between the two?
You're actually really making my point, CJ. Thank you very much, because those stats are bloated because he's thrown the ball 200 more times. Like, it's all about attempts. He has those yards on him because he has the opportunity to get those yards more than Jimmy does. Jimmy was in a run-based offense. And then after all that, you say Matt Ryan has, 27 touchdowns to Jimmy's 26? After all that, he only got one more touchdown to Jimmy Garoppolo?
Can we talk about blown Super Bowl leads also, or are we going to leave that one out? Because I think that happened. Is that too soon, or are we going to save that for another show?
We can talk.
Well, they both did it.
Yeah, like, I don't know. CJ, you continue to make my point here
and there. They're tied in that category. Matt Ryan's is
who blew the bigger lead?
The point.
Who blew the bigger lead?
So, are we going to talk about? It's almost like we're bashing Matty Ice, but we're sitting here like Jimmy G's the answer. I mean, are they not the same then?
Wow. CJ, we appreciate your call, man.
Thank you, CJ.
So much. The only real difference, I hear what he's saying, and it's kind of something that I was thinking about earlier, but 28 versus 35, that's the biggest difference right now.
That's the biggest difference. Also, we have a career of Matt Ryan not coming through. We got one five-minute moment of when Jimmy didn't come through.
The blown 17-point lead. Who was the offensive coordinator of that team?
The Super Bowl? Which one? Because he blew a couple of 17-point leads. The Super Bowl?
The Matt Ryan 17-point lead against the 49ers.
Oh, man.
Was that Kyle?
No, Kyle wasn't there yet. I think who was the coach? Mike Smith or whatever, he was running the offense.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that Kyle Shanahan wasn't responsible for all of these blown leads. We appreciate you. We'll save your one-on-one for tomorrow as we wrap things up here. Download the radio.com app. In your app store, you can listen to us live. You can listen to us on demand. It is the exclusive home of the D'Lo and KC podcast. Remember, you can support Feed Our Families by texting NEED to 72881. Again, text NEED to 72881. Damon Ratto and Kolsky are next here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.